How many of you have ever been afraid?
Children's church.
Children's church. All children, 90 and under. If you're not a child at heart when you're 90, you're in trouble. I remember walking home from my neighbors when I was a boy living with my grandmother up in Lane's Run. Matter of fact, the same house that Brother Louie and Sister Sally live in, I went out there on a Thursday night to watch wrestling. And I had to walk home by myself. I was in the third grade. And some nights it was pitch black. And I heard all kinds of noises in the woods along the road. And the hair would literally stand up. Anybody else here ever been afraid? I can imagine how Sister Ellen felt back there when she looked out her front door and there was a bear looking in the window at her. Fear can be a devastating thing. We are not confident in something, and if we're not confident in something or someone, then we end up fearing because of our lack of confidence. That can keep us from moving forward in life. There was a Japanese soldier by the name of Soichi Yokoi. He lived in a cave on the island of Guam, to which he had fled in 1944. When the tides of war began to change, fearing for his life, he stayed hidden for 28 years in that cave. Jungle cave. Came out only at night. During this self-imposed exile, he lived on frogs, rats, snails, shrimp, nuts, and mangoes. Even when he figured out that the war was over, he was still afraid to come out for fear that he would be executed. Two hunters happened to be out there in the woods one day hunting, and they found him and escorted him to freedom after 28 years. He was living all this time under the indictment of sins that had been dealt with already 28 years ago. But he simply hadn't appropriated the atonement that was already available to him. Can you imagine that? 28 years of fear when he had no reason to fear. It had already been dealt with, and he simply didn't know it. For you and I, as human beings, to even think about approaching the Heavenly Father. Every time you pray, you approach God. You come in this church, you're approaching God. Sometimes I watch and I think, well, boy, we come into God's presence and we kind of flippant. The God that we are approaching still is the God of the universe. The one who has all power. He who is is holy and righteous, and the judge of all is beyond all comprehension to most of us as people who view God as fearsome and frightening in his existence. Most people, or a lot of people, believe that God doesn't care or doesn't exist, or if he does, he is unapproachable. How are we going to come to God if he does really exist? Well, the apostle wrote in the book of Hebrews and talked to us about how it is that we can approach God. Listen to what Paul said. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest, this high priest of ours, understands our weaknesses. Somebody say hello. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Wow. We're talking about coming to God. Fearful of coming into his presence. Fearful of approaching the one who has all power throughout the universe. And yet here Paul says, we can have the grace of God to come boldly to the throne. There we will receive his mercy. Hallelujah. And we will find grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
To help us when we need it most.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, you see our relationship with you. And it is your will that all of us come to you. But, oh Lord, we as finite human beings that are so sinful and so human and so filled with intimidation in our lives, who are we that we should ever even attempt to approach you, the holy God who sits on the throne? And yet here through your servant Paul, you tell us that we have a high priest, that we can come to you boldly, that we might find grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. However, the Scripture tells us that when we come to God, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be like that Japanese soldier to fear when we come to God. Paul says, we have. How many know you have something? It's yours. I hope the clothes you have on your back are yours. The shoes on your feet are yours. Now if I come back and say, what size do you wear? And I say, they're mine. Are you going to give them up, or are you going to say, they're mine? What is yours is yours. Now my wife says to me, what is mine, and what's yours is mine. Only the women were clapping. I'm going to tell you this morning, I have a high priest.
Yes.
And he's mine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he's yours.
Hallelujah. Yes.
him by faith. Amen. We can claim him. We have. It's absolutely official. It's been stamped. The document has been stamped. Praise God. It has been written in the annals of eternity that Jesus Christ is our high priest. We already have him for our own.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. He is ours. That is, those who believe in him. Believers can lay claim on him. You can say, he is my high priest. You go up to anybody on the street this coming week and stop them and say, I want you to know I've got a high priest. Glory. I had a couple come to my house. I almost said to them, they were Catholics, and they let me know it right quick. They didn't know who I was yet. I let them know before they left. Amen. But they were talking about their priests. And I wanted to say, I have a high priest. He sits on the right hand of God. And he's mine. Praise the Lord. Who is he? He is great. You notice what Paul said. We have a great high priest. I read in the paper this morning where a priest of the Episcopal Church in D.C. was arrested for drunken driving. Hit a man, killed him, and left the scene of the accident. I guess went home and sprayed some peppermint or something in her mouth. Came back 30 minutes later. Well, she ought to be out of a job.
Amen.
I don't want a priest like that. Amen. I want a high priest that is great, can back up. Praise the Lord. Linda and I took a tour through the Vatican. And we walked around and we saw these guys walking around in black robes, and some of them in all dressed up in all kinds of colored robes. And I wondered a little bit myself, I wonder where I can get one of them. I like to be colorful. They were priests. We went through a great cathedral over there, and as I was walking back the aisle, I saw this little booth. And it said, confession. I was almost went over and knelt down and say, I'm sorry, I have sinned, I'm not a Catholic. But I said no. I have a high priest. I'm telling you what, his name is known around the world.
Yes.
He is great. He is the one who spoke and all creation came into existence. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a time when this earth was not here? The sun was not in its place. There was no moon. There was no Milky Way. There was no universe. But there was God. My high priest was there. Hallelujah. And he simply, in the endless past of eternity, one point in time, he spoke and time came into existence. And the universe came into existence. And everything that is in the world appeared. He set the universe into motion. He established time. How many of us could do without a watch? Do we need a clock? He established time, years, months, days, hours, minutes, seconds, and now down to milliseconds they can count. God is responsible. My high priest. He established everything from the tiniest DNA to the vast universe that would take hundreds of millions of years to travel through, going at the speed of light 186,282.397 miles per second. And it would take hundreds of millions of years to travel across this vast universe at that rate of speed. He, my high priest, I want you to know who he is. Hallelujah. He's not somebody that got the Nobel Prize. No. My goodness gracious, he put everything into existence that is in existence. Every ant, every earthworm, every bird, every leaf, every bit of earth, he is responsible. He is my high priest. Who else can say, I have a high priest that is that great?
Amen.
He is the great high priest. By far the greatest high priest who has ever stood before God and man. Now, greater by far than the first high priest, which was called Aaron, whom Israel considers to be the greatest high priest. Aaron was the one who first of all went into the very holy presence of God. And with the blood of the heifer and the blood of the lamb, and spread it before God to get God to forgive Israel of their sins. Remember, when that high priest went into the presence of God, they had to tie a rope around his foot in case he wasn't quite right before the Lord and was killed in God's presence, and they had to pull him out. Nobody else could go into the presence of God himself but Aaron and the great high priest. But I'm telling you that the high priest that I have is greater than Aaron. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Two reasons he's the greatest. Number one, he has passed into the heavens, Paul said. Hallelujah. How many other high priests you know that have passed into the heavens? This one has. He is before the very throne of God. He is in the very presence of God himself. Earthly high priest went into the Holy of Holies in the earthly temple, but Jesus Christ, hallelujah, has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, there making intercession for you and I. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. He is there in the presence of God, greater by far than any other high priest who has ever existed.
Amen.
He is also great, one of the greatest high priests, because he is the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God. He is both man and God. Hallelujah. Now, I've met a lot of people, but I've never met anybody like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've met a lot of people, but all of them have been sinners.
Amen.
Except Jesus. Jesus was both God and man. Earthly name Jesus speaks of his human nature and his sympathy for mankind. Jesus was a man just like all other high priests. He suffered all the trials, all the temptations that other men and other priests have suffered. And so thereby he can sympathize with human beings. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
He knows what you go through.
Yes. Thank
you, Jesus. Well, as somebody said, you never know what somebody else is going through until you walk in their shoes. Well, Jesus walked in our sandals.
Yes.
He was there. He experienced all of our temptations. Listen to what the writer Paul said again. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was tempted, Paul said, in all points like as we are. How many know what the lust of the flesh is? Only half a dozen of us? How many know what the lust of the flesh is? How about the pride of life? Some of you were looking in the mirror this morning, and after you get your wig straight and your eyes painted and your cheeks rouged up, and you men got your ties on or your hair in place, what little bit we got left. We looked in and said, "You're looking pretty good." And you walked in church. How many's ever seen a peacock strut? I have, man. Let me tell you, I watched one looking in my hubcap years ago. I was selling magazines. He came out and he looked in the hubcap and it was nice and shiny, and he saw himself. He put his tail feathers out and he just strutted around there. Woo! I said, "Oh boy, you're almost as good looking as I am." Pride of life. You bought that new car. And you sit across the street and your neighbor's looking out the Venetian blind. You know he's looking. And you sit there and wind the windows up and down. Want him to see you got power windows. You take off and go down the road. You want him to see the power you have in your new car. And look at all of what I've got. Pride of life. Jesus was there. He understands it. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. Amen? How many has ever seen a cookie that you wanted to eat and you said somebody told you not to? And you looked at that cookie. I remember selling magazines. I went into this house down in Polk County, Tennessee. Lady had a brand fresh new coconut cake sitting right on the table. And I sat down on the end of the table there showing her my magazines, but every few seconds I looked that way. And finally she caught on and said, "Would you like to have a piece of cake?" I thought she would never ask. Lust of the eyes. I wanted that cake. But when we're talking about lust of the eye, we're talking about something that's contrary to God's will. Amen? Jesus was there. He suffered the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He tasted of all the troubles and the trials and the problems that any one of us will ever taste of. And yet, without sin. Can you say praise the Lord? Not only was he Jesus the man who is our high priest, but he was the Son of God. He is divine, the very Son of God himself, who lived in heaven and is eternal. Listen to Paul again in Hebrews, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the Son of God. My high priest is not only a man who understands my troubles and understands my trials and my testings, my weaknesses and my sinfulness, but he understands as God that he has all power to overcome everything in my behalf. Hallelujah. 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 Now, seeing we have a great high priest, both man and God. What's our responsibility to our high priest? Paul says here in this verse of scripture, he said, hold firmly to what you believe.
Yes.
How many really believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
You believe He's the only way.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not Muhammad.
That's right.
Not Buddha.
That's right.
Not a tree hugging.
Right.
Amen. I'll go hug all the trees you want to, buddy. It's not going to get you any place but Kentucky. Amen. I have a high priest, and I believe in Him.
Yes.
I believe He is the Son of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Who created the universe. I believe He's the one that formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed upon him, and he became a living soul.
Amen.
I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a human being, born of the Virgin Mary, hallelujah, raised on this earth, walked among men as the Son of God. He suffered death in my place, took my sins upon him. They buried him in a tomb, but hallelujah, he came out as the risen Lord on the day of resurrection. I make no apologies for my faith in him. I make no apologies. If somebody else wants to believe something else, then go to it, buddy. But I believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm going to hold on to it.
Yes.
I made the statement this morning, Brother Poster asked. You made the comment that they're doing surveys and church attendance in America is falling to the wayside. People don't go to church anymore. I have a list I'm making of people that live in the community that don't go to church, and I'm going to go knocking on their doors. Some of them are getting older, and they've been drinking and carousing and living their life without God for many, many years, but the preacher's coming.
Amen.
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 I'm going to let them know. You need to get right with Jesus. I know that of themselves they'll never darken this door until I darken their door. And tell them that Jesus Christ is their hope and their life. And before Denny Davis gets a hold of them, they better get a hold of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We must firmly believe if we wish to go to heaven. Then we have to hold fast to our faith in Him. We have to be genuine. Amen? There was a preacher. He went to see a farmer in the community that didn't go to church. He was trying to persuade the farmer to come to church. And the farmer said, well, I know old so-and-so up there at your church. There's two members up there I know very well that live in this community, and I'm as good as they are, so I don't have to come to church if that's the kind of people that go to your church. And he continued, the old farmer, he went throughout the community and started telling other people, you know, I'm as good as old Joe, and I'm as good as old Susie up there in the church, and I don't have to go because of the way they live. So the preacher went back to the farmer, and he said to the farmer, I want to buy one of your hogs. Oh, wow, yeah, sure, I have some hogs for sale. And he brings out the best prize hogs he's got, you know, and parades them there in front of the preacher. And the preacher said, no, I don't want them. Preacher got the nosing around in his other pens, and there's a runt. Preacher said, I want to buy that hog. No, preacher, you don't want to buy it. That's a runt. You don't want a runt. You want my nice hogs. Preacher said, nope, I want that runt. What are you going to do with him? I'm going to put him in the back of my truck and take him all throughout the community and tell people what kind of hogs you raise.
Amen.
If you can go throughout the community and tell all about my bad members, I'm going to tell them about your bad hogs. Now, if you're going to be in the church, if you're going to be serving God, then don't be a runt. Amen. Serve God. Hold on to the faith. Don't be a namby-pamby walking through the tulips kind of person with your faith. Be a man or a woman and stand up, square your shoulders, suck your stomach in, and let your chest and your voice say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So Paul says, hold firmly to your faith. Don't let go of it. The significance of our great high priest. What makes him so significant to you and I? He is touched, oh hallelujah, with the feelings of our weaknesses. Paul says, now this word touch means to sympathize, to feel or suffer with. The idea is that Jesus, our high priest, knows what we feel and suffers right along with us when we are sick, when we lose a loved one, when we suffer trials, when we face temptations, when we lack money or fall into sin, have an accident, or when we're hungry, feeling lonely, or suffer persecution, or sense emptiness, or face death, or any of the things of life that come to us. Jesus is there. He feels it. He understands our weaknesses and our struggles.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Have you ever struggled? There's been a few times in my 45 years of pastoral work that I wanted to go to the closet and get my suitcase and leave town. Thank the Lord I never got to the closet.
Amen.
There's been a few times when rumors got to flying about me. When people say, I don't like him, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like the other thing. And I said, Lord, they don't like that, they don't like that. What am I going to do, Lord? He said, shut up and get on about the business.
Amen.
Glory. I thank the Lord that there's only ever been one person in all 45 years of my pastoral ministry that I paid a visit to and invited them to go to the church down the road. I did it once. Don't test me. Jesus understands this all. Our feelings, our struggles. When you feel like you've had all you can take and all you can handle. When you feel like you're down and out and there's just, I want to give up. Remember that Jesus is right there feeling it with you.
Amen.
He's your high priest who is touched. Sympathetic. Suffering with you. Paul said he was tempted in all things just like we are, yet without sin.
Glory.
How many of us have sinned? I'm not seeing every hand yet. Oh, Andy and Joey's holding hands back there. Woo! Yes. Have you ever met anybody that hasn't sinned? Huh? I have. One. Have you ever met anybody who hasn't sinned?
Yes, Jesus Christ.
Eric, you met him right there.
Hallelujah. Brother West reminded me when I sat down behind him, March the 9th, 1980. I remember the night just as clear as can be. He came into Whitehall Community Center, got down at the chairs there in front of that church, and cried his way through to salvation. And Jesus came down and met with him. Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He met that night the first person without sin.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he is sinless? He understands the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, as I've said. He experienced it all. His greatness was that he was sinless. He went through, but he was victorious. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He gained the victory. Praise God in heaven. His purity made him the perfect high priest who could bear all our sins before the Heavenly Father and seek redemption for us on our behalf. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because he sought a relationship with us. Through his great love, we can now come boldly with confidence and freely without fear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember when I went to the Eastern Shore, I was looking for land to build a church on. And there was an old fellow that had a little farm up the road from where we lived in Burrsville. And I said, I wonder if he would sell us some land. And people told me, don't you go up there. He's a moonshiner. He's an alcoholic. He's mean. He's hateful. He'll shoot the windshield out of your car as you're driving up the driveway. I got in the car and that's where I went. And that's where I bought land for the church. And that's when that old man, Mr. Austin, started coming to church.
Hallelujah.
And everybody said, if Mr. Austin's going to church, it's time for everybody to go to church.
Amen.
I know one Sunday morning I was teaching Sunday school and he raised his hand. Just had been there a couple of Sundays and he said, preacher, are you telling me that if I catch somebody in my chicken coop getting my chickens, I can't shoot him? I said, no, let him have them. All right. We don't have to be afraid to go to God. Though God is the great God, the mighty ruler of the universe, because of Jesus, my high priest. Hallelujah! Who understands me, who understands my failures, my faults, who understands my misgivings, my sins, my shortcomings. Hallelujah! I can go to him and he says, come on in, boy. Hallelujah! Enter into my presence.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And I don't have to go with fear and trembling. We can obtain mercy of God through our high priest. How many need mercy?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
You women that claimed everything your husbands had a while ago, you need mercy. I saw your hands. You be quiet, I'm preaching. You point your finger at me, there are three of them pointing back at you. We all need mercy, don't we? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm telling you, through the high priest, I don't care what I've done. I don't care how I've been. I don't care how much I've messed up. If I go to Him in faith and humility and repentance and believe in Him and confess to Him, He will show me mercy.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We have done everything imaginable against God.
Yeah.
We've ignored Him. We've rejected Him, neglected Him, denied Him, rebelled against Him, cursed Him, and disobeyed Him. And yet when we come to Him with a humble heart and cry out, "Oh God, forgive me," He's there with grace and mercy.
Amen.
To forgive us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And to cleanse us.
Thank you, Jesus.
From all unrighteousness. We can now find grace to help in the time of need through our high priest. I said we can find grace.
Yes.
Yes.
Help is now available to carry us through life.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm telling you, no matter what confronts us, trial, trouble, tribulation, temptation, help is available.
Yes.
Help is available. Now, if I got over just a little bit, blame it on the singers. They sang too long. Oh, they've got grace. They'll forgive me. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you'll face in life till the day you die. I don't care what struggle you will go through. I don't care what problem you will confront in your life. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace will strengthen us to walk right through the trial and the trouble. His grace will help us conquer and triumph over every circumstance and situation. Somebody say praise the Lord. Listen now, this is the last statement. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and He will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your high priest.